welcome to another episode of The Zest is History, starring your hosts, Melissa Mason and Josie Rosenberg-Clark.
Hello, Mel.
Hello, Josie.
It's so quiet.
I know.
Compared to the last one, which had Rosa like screaming
yes.
for the first 20 minutes.
Well, I don't. Oh, the last episode?
Yes.
Yes. I thought you were talking about the special deep
episode. The last
episode.
Time we were here, the special deep episode, which I haven't uploaded.
But we will.
But maybe I will have by this point.
Yeah, this is in the future.
In time.
Maybe it's up.
Maybe it's up.
If you want to listen to it, it's on our Patreon. That's
yeah, it's a
where
special
it is.
Bonus episode for Patreon supporters. All about dip. And yeah. We couldn't get Rosa to shut up. So we literally just plonked her between us. We filmed it as well. And she chewed on a cardboard box.
Like multiple
a variety
boxes.
Of cardboard boxes, which we swapped out.
That's if you were like, what the fuck is this dip episode? I haven't seen that
yep.
in the feed.
And we ate the dip as well.
Oh, it was
time.
So good. And then we kept our favorite dips. So
yes.
I just like kept eating dip.
Oh, and I meant to tell you, I got spicy capsicum for my special cheese board
was
that
it a
I
hit?
Made. Yeah, it was a hit.
Isn't it the best? It's such a good dip.
Yeah, I really like it. Thank you for introducing me to that dip.
Yeah, so for anyone that isn't on Patreon, which is so fine, we'll give you a little hint on that one. It's the Black Swan spicy capsicum, mm-hmm. and it is like, doesn't even look like much hay at the shops, but then you buy it.
It's very unassuming. Mm. And then it's like a party in your mouth vibes.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then you want to eat the whole thing, mm-hmm. and then you fight with other people about it, and it's all on. It's all on.
Yep. And then in the last full episode, Rosa was just in the background and it was really triggering to edit because I left her with Julian to edit the episode. And then I'm like, wow, she's really carrying on. And then I take my headphone off and it was just silent. And at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, did she like wake up? And then I I listened and it was real time, Rosa screaming. And I'm like, oh God, this is too much, Rosa.
Stuff in a podcast
screaming.
Really throws me. Like, when I recorded one of a Twilighty episode, and in the background Mum was like something like Melissa, like yelling at me about something, and then it's like very faint in the background, and then I thought it was in real life
real
as well
life.
And I was like very thrown,
like, what do you
like
want Mum?
Like a strong 5 minutes to work out where that had come
yes.
from. But yeah, what's been going on aside from X-Files?
I finished I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Oh, did you?
Good. Finally, because I had a couple of friends being like, can you please finish? I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, fine. I haven't actually watched The X-Files once this week. Mm. Are you shocked by that?
I am shocked. I thought we were going to, like, every episode I just expect
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched any X-Files. I loved I'll Be Gone in the Dark. Mm-hmm. As someone that's pretty familiar with the case in general.
Mm-hmm.
I was more interested in how, not more interested, but for me, my takeaway was the stuff about Michelle.
Yeah.
And how she died and just like the lack of regulation around prescription medication in America is alarming.
It's so alarming. And I'm always fascinated by that.
So many insane things. Mm. And it was just didn't seem to be regulated by anyone. And Patton was saying she seemed to have it under control. So. And he's like, I'll live with that now, because I was just like, oh, she seems to know what she's doing.
Yeah.
He was like, Adderall, Vicodin, Xanax.
Oh, fuck.
I'm like, there's some heavy shit.
Yeah.
And then it was just – that was tied in obviously with the case. And when he finally appeared, like that's obviously not a spoiler – in court, he like comes through the door. I had the most physical reaction.
Really?
And I've seen that footage and I've seen the photos, but I had Rosa asleep on me, so I had to whisper scream. But I was like, you fucking asshole. Like I screamed at the screen and I started sobbing. I was
God.
And I don't know how the actual survivors sat there and looked at him without doing what I'd done. I hadn't even gone through it. And I was like,
yeah.
I had this reaction and they were so strong. They're just sitting there like, that's him.
Yeah.
That old man is like the man that stole my innocence. One of them was a virgin mm-hmm. when he raped her. Horrible. But anyway, they are amazing. Those women are fantastic. Paul Holes is in it.
Mm.
Karen from My Favorite Murder. Billy Jensen.
Why is Karen in it?
Because she was friends with Michelle and Patton.
Right.
And I guess she talks to like the true crime element and how people are fascinated with it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's in a few little talking head type scenes, so yeah. That was nice. I feel like Rosa recognized her voice.
Oh,
she started like bouncing in her bouncer when Karen came on. I was like, wow, I listened to too many crime podcasts.
Yeah.
So I watched that. I'm watching The Boys, which I talked about.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Old podcast. Yeah.
It's got Chase Crawford in it.
Oh,
Chase is that his name? Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's really fucked up. Like, so fucked up.
Yeah.
But yep, season 2's out on Amazon Prime, who don't sponsor this podcast.
Not
I don't know
at all,
why I just
but
shouted
we seem
that
to
out.
Watch a lot of Amazon Prime.
So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm just pretending football doesn't exist this season because the Giants suck this season. Mm. I'm a really bad sport. I can't just be like, oh, that's okay. I'm now like, what's football?
Yeah. I don't like this sport. What sport?
Yeah.
What's
so
all this
I
orange
had to find
and gray
other things
paraphernalia
to watch.
That I have in my
I'm
house?
Like, I don't understand.
Who bought that?
What are you watching, listening to?
I'm watching High Fidelity, which is Zoe Kravitz, which has nothing to do with Australian history or crime.
No.
But
we're just gasbagging.
It's so funny because me and Kate are watching it and we fucking hate her character and her and everything about, like, I love her. Like, she's stunning
in life.
And she has the Lisa Bonet energy on her is like huge and like, she's amazing. And it's like, I want to love her because her style is so fucking cool in it. And like, she's fucking cool as a vibe. But then her character is horrendously annoying and like, like, you know, when people like affected, like she's just so like every fucking sentence that she says is so like calculated to be like a cool girl. I'm like, fuck you, you're so fucking annoying.
Is it
annoying.
Based on the, is she supposed to be John Cusack's
she's
character?
She's John Cusack's character.
Because he's a fucking insufferable cunt in that book and he movie. Is.
So I think she's potentially meant to be, but I liked him more than
I
just like
can't,
her.
I just could not stand him. I
he
love that
generally
movie.
He has a face you want to punch.
Oh
though,
my
he?
God, his character was so irritating. The only saving grace was Bruce Springsteen appearing to him.
Yes,
in the vision.
So Debbie Harry appears to her.
Oh,
in the vision.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I haven't watched the original for ages, but I did love it. And then I love this, even though I hate her. Like,
yeah,
I'm
right.
Obsessed.
Yes.
I can't wait to watch
more.
I
still
and
love
then
that
I'm like,
movie.
You're so fucking annoying and you don't deserve any happiness.
Yeah,
you're so
you're
irritating.
Like, I can't root for you. Because
and like, she's
I
not,
don't like you at all.
She's not annoying like she's a bitch or she's like –
She's
really
just
awful.
Got to fucking
she's
stick just, up her ass.
Yeah, she's just so. I'm a record. I own a record store, and I'm so fucking cute.
Oh my god!
And like, and when she goes on this date with this guy, and she's like, he's like, oh, would you like? It's Fleetwood Mac Dreams is playing, and then he's like, would you like judge me if I said I love this song? And she's like, I love this song. I love Tusk more. Like, like wank yourself off. I can't. And I just
only
can't.
Wankers say they like Tusk more than Rumours. Rumours is the hits.
Yeah.
It's like it's fine
hits,
to like
guys.
The hits.
Yeah.
It's fine to like Born in the USA. It's fine to like INXS's Kick.
Yes.
Then they're the hit shows. You just put them on and then you just leave them.
Yes.
And they
hit
just
after
go.
Hit after hit. What is wrong with that?
You don't have to delve into someone's back catalogue.
Like Janet Jackson, Design of a Decade. Fantastic.
Yes.
It's just my hits. All I want
it's
is the hits.
And you just put it on and you can get on with your life.
Yeah.
And you know you're guaranteed banger, 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 banger. You don't have to skip.
Not some sort of album vibe. Fuck off with your album vibe. But anyway, but obviously she's meant to be like that because she owns a record store. But it's just extremely irritating to watch episode after episode. But great show. Great clothes. Her just fashion is ridiculously amazing.
Maybe I'll try to give it a go.
I think that you might like it.
I love the movie.
I just
hated him. Jack Black was in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Him and Bruce Springsteen are the saving graces.
I really need to watch the movie again because watching the show, it's just an elongated version of the movie.
Right.
So everything just happens a lot slower.
Okay.
But it's the same sort of thing, like going back to all your exes and working out whether you're a fuck up or, you know, all that shit. But yeah.
Which is a great premise.
Oh, such a good premise. But you know, anyway, that's what I've been watching. And then I'm just reading Twilight still. And I only just realized today, Josie, since I have no other outlet for my Twilight commentary besides here because the podcast is strictly reading the chapters.
Yes.
It's only the first book. So I thought.
Is she doing each one?
Yeah. So you know how it's fucking huge?
Yeah.
You've seen how big it is, right? That is at least three times the size of the original Twilight, I reckon.
It is.
And
I
thought,
assumed it was all of them.
Same. And I thought, cool. Like, because it was going like kind of slow. Like I'm almost at the middle now. And I'm like, and I basically went on Instagram and I put it up and I was like, when are we going to get to the bit where like Edward fucks off to Italy and like, yes, I want to see that
drama,
shit.
The drama.
Like, I want New Moon. Like yeah. Everyone just wants to know what the fuck Edward was doing in New Moon.
Yes. Because we don't when know. He just disappears.
He just fucks off.
Yeah.
And like, I really want to know then, like, I don't give a shit about Twilight. I want to know what he's doing in New Moon. And so I was waiting. And then Ailis, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Messages me on Instagram and was like, oh, isn't it the first book? And I was like, what? And then I went on Google and then it's like, you know, when you get that sinking feeling where you're like, she's right.
Yeah.
I've just been a fucking idiot. And then it is just the first book. And
no.
I was so upset about this information.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's like now I'm looking down the barrel at like 19 more chapters of the first fucking
yes.
book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
It changes everything.
And
now you're
going
to have
sense.
To do like four seasons,
no,
three seasons.
I just don't think Twilight. I will. if I make a Patreon and people pay me to do it,
yeah.
I will do it. But literally my
I'll
soul
pay
is
you
dying.
I want to. I want you to do New Moon because I know it's going to be unhinged, whatever
do
he was
feel
doing.
Once all the chapters are done, it would be incredibly useful to be able to go from start to finish of the entire book in 5-minute increments.
Yes.
With me just telling you the Cliff's Notes of it. But look, I'll think about making a Patreon if the second book ever comes out and I can handle it. I'll just be like, okay. Because right now, like as Josie notes, I'm just like paying for my own platform.
Yeah.
For this podcast, which is cheap and it's cool because I
it's
like doing
a,
it.
What's it called? Passion project.
It's a passion project for sure.
A labor of love.
Yeah. And I just don't think any advertiser is ever going to want to jump on board with it.
Especially not whoever publishes the book.
I know. They'd be like, could you be a little nicer to Stephanie?
Like we want to sponsor it, but you have to be positive only.
Yeah.
What would you do if they were like, we'll give you $1 million, but you have to be positive only?
I feel like I would find some way to be like pretend positive, but everyone would secretly know me
yes.
and know that I was like giving shit to it.
And then you'd have $1 million, which would
and
be awesome.
And then $1 million and everyone would be like, ha ha ha, we know.
We know that you really hate this book.
Yeah. But I don't hate. I don't like, I actually
not
really
hate,
enjoy watching
like,
it. It's just fucking slow now. And
yeah.
I hate Edward and I hate Jasper.
I know you hate Jasper because my thing is I found him quite hot.
He is hot in the movie, isn't he?
Yeah. Especially when he's like the Confederate soldier vibes.
Oh, he's so hot as the Confederate
like,
soldier.
Taking the politics aside, I don't really.
Oh, just, he's just a soldier.
I
want to
get into like Civil War.
No.
But he just looks hot in uniform.
Yeah.
The end.
That's it.
Like he's hot. But then. Yes, you really go to town on Jasper, and rightfully yeah. so.
He's just fucking, he's just irritating in this book because
you get
more
of an insight
of his.
Yeah.
And he's just this new baby vampire that's like.
Can't control himself.
Fucking so, yeah. And then everyone else has to like clean up his mess. And it's just like, God, like, and he's so annoying with Alice. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're so like dependent on your like girlfriend. Just fucking grow a backbone, dude. Be more like Emmett and Edward. Emmett's
yes.
fine.
Stand up. Blokes.
Like have your own personality, dude. Like his personality is I love Alice. Like Jesus Christ. I feel like you need to come on and do like a little guest episode.
Yeah, I
me.
Need to catch up. My thing is, and I was saying this to someone the other day, because someone was saying where they listen to podcasts. Oh, it was my friend Beck, friend of the podcast, who's in my mum's group, and she listens to podcasts quite a lot. And she was like, but it's weird, it's something weird about listening to yours because I know you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel the same because I only listen when I'm trying to fall asleep or in the shower.
Yeah.
I'm like, it would be I just find it would be weird to listen to Mel in those two scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm trying to drift off, my friend's voice is like there when I'm naked in the shower.
I think it's so
like,
weird.
I don't think I could listen to Mel in the shower.
No.
So I'm behind on Twilight.
Oh, honestly, it's
I
not
need
much.
To catch up.
Two episodes I've been drunk. Chapter 8 and chapter 10.
I really want to listen to those.
Chapter
the one
8.
With the big silence.
Yeah. So yeah, there's like a minute. There's 30 seconds of silence of me turning pages and then there's a whole minute and a half where I think I, you know, when you edit
yeah.
and you accidentally drag both ends.
Yes.
So I think I did that because I was drunk when I was editing it and just left it there.
Yeah.
And then people are saying like it's there, but now it's like this running joke of like, you
it's
know
funny.
What? It is
yeah.
how it is.
Yeah.
How it went up is how yep. it stays.
That's how it's going to be. And that's yeah. why we love Mel and Twilight because it's slapdash. We actually, yes. I just said this. Podcast is slapdash.
Everything
before
we
started recording.
There's nothing that we do that isn't slapdash.
True. We just did an unboxing of some gifts.
We did.
So that video will be up on Patreon as well.
Yep.
Join our group, Facebook
yes.
group.
All Aussie.
Zest is history. Fucking hell.
Habits.
And Instagram.
Yep.
The Zest is History.
Yep.
That's what where we put our wine pairings.
We do.
I just realized I haven't done mine from a very stale episode. Julian's got the photo. You were there when Julian was getting the boomerang of me. I have to get him to
it was extreme Instagram boyfriend's hour.
It was. He was getting annoyed.
You can email us thezestishistory@gmail.com with your yarns for spinning us a yarn. Because we want to do them more regularly. So send us your stories.
Yeah, we've got a few, but we need more.
Yeah.
So just send us funny, wild stories.
Yeah.
From your family's past or from your neighborhood or when you were growing up. Just
just
a yarn.
Just whatever. Any Aussie yarn.
A fun 5-minute yarn.
Yes.
And we'll tell it.
We will. We will tell it. On that note,
let's get into this episode. Let's get started in this very quiet scenario that we have going on.
Yeah. Here. Well, so I feel like I've done a lot of big, wide-reaching topics of late where it takes a lot of research. Mm-hmm. And then what basically happened this week was that Josie was like, oh, you've got the emu war written down. You should do that. And I was like, I should totally do that. That's so fun, the emu war. And then I started Googling it and good Christ, guys, that is the most bleak shit.
Yeah.
It sounds funny on the surface. It's not fucking funny.
No.
It's literally emus getting murdered.
I hate that.
En masse.
Yeah.
I love emus.
It's an emu massacre.
It's
not
literally
a war.
An emu massacre. And it's not funny. And I was like, I can't do it not funny. I'm depressed.
Yeah,
I want to do something fun.
I've cried in my last two. And that's why I wrote to Mel, because I was like, I just feel like we need a fun yarn. Because I'm just hormonal. But
I'm also hormonal, but from a PMS perspective.
Right. Mine's just like, after you have a baby, you just cry a lot.
Yeah.
I already did. So it's just double crying. And then Mel was like, you'll definitely cry if I do this episode. So she's not. She's doing something
else. Josie would have just been sobbing in the corner. Josie does not love good at any animal cruelty. And this was a lot of that. So we might do it one day, but it's not today. Mm-mm. Today is all fun and disgusting creatures is what it's disgusting creature hour today, because I am doing the Centennial Parklands eels, which I've wanted to do for ages. I almost did it as a live show on our old podcast. But it wasn't really a mystery.
Yes.
But now it doesn't need to be a fucking mystery, does it?
It's just a fucking story from Australia at some point in time.
Yes.
Perfect.
I wouldn't even call this Australian history necessarily. I would just say that it is Australian story.
Yeah.
Now. but to start with, we do have a wine.
I've already sipped it. Sorry. I'm going to sip it again.
I think that it gave it away. It's Centennial Vineyards. I finally made an actual pairing that
is there a vineyard at Centennial Park?
No. So this is in Bowral. So
but it's the name.
Yeah.
Centennial.
Yeah.
That's clever. That's some lateral thinking.
It's some very Josie lateral thinking, which I'm not usually doing. I usually just go orange wine. And orange isn't even that
but
near Cowra.
That's
Cowra. That was a Cowra
episode. It can be that loose, I feel.
So it's the 2019 Centennial Vineyards Pinot Grigio. It won a gold medal in 2019 at the Canberra and Region Wine Show.
It does taste good.
It is. It's very fruity, huh? What do you think the notes are?
My first thought was pear, but then I wonder if I've just got pear on my hand from feeding Rosa earlier.
Well, I can actually tell
you. It's a pear?
It is apple. Pear.
No.
Yes. Pineapple. Which I didn't pick.
Pineapple.
Mm-hmm. Kiwi fruit.
Oh, beautiful. It's like a fruit salad.
Yeah. And then this is the description. Get this. Juicy, crisp, zesty. And full flavored.
That's great.
It's delicious. It's just a nice, delicious Pinot Grigio. I wouldn't say it's my favorite one I've ever had, but it's
it goes down well.
It's a good drinking one.
I actually did want to update you guys. I told Mel this already, but when I went to find the actual name of that fancy French wine from the Michael Hutchence episode, I checked the note. The actual notes were listed on the website, not on the bottle. And Mel was right. There were strawberries. Yes. So our noses, our palates are getting really good.
We are so refined.
We're fucking wine experts now.
Should be sommeliers.
I can't even say that word.
I know. I only know it because of where I work now.
Sommeliers. Sommeliers.
I actually don't even know if that's how you say it.
Sommeliers.
Sommeliers? I feel like I heard someone say sommeliers or something the other day. It sounded like that. They just said dream job. Passing, and I was like, yes.
Dream job.
I know. Delicious.
Okay, all right. Tell me about disgusting creatures.
I can't wait. So my credits are very few because the Centennial Parklands website has the best information about right. their own creatures, as you'd hope they would.
Yeah.
But a big shout out to a guy called Sam Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a guy. Could be a Sam like a girl. It we don't know. Be. Who, look, it doesn't credit him on their website, but other places credited him as the person who they spoke to from Centennial Parklands. So right. I think he's like the eel enthusiast at right. the park.
He's the
like,
expert.
He fucking loves them. He Ugh, fucking loves Sam, them. He probably has get like another pats
hobby.
Them.
Seriously.
He probably goes and gives them a pat.
No, he has pet ones.
He has like
he's like
he saved a
Bobby.
Couple. Yeah, he saved some,
and they come swimming up. Ugh. Ugh. I hate so, the way they move.
They're so disgusting. Sorry, Sam, but we're just about to shit all over your favorite
You're
animal.
Like. Pastime.
We're about to like brutally own them with words because they definitely understand. They're listening. All of the eels
they're
all
their heads have popped out yeah. of the like, gross.
Who's talking shit about me over there?
Gross. I hate them.
There are two articles though. The Sydney Morning Herald by Heath Aston, 2011, and Australian Geographic No Byline, 2019, which is quite recently.
Mm.
So to geographically place everybody, we're in Sydney.
Yeah.
And Centennial Park is sort of, it's like an entire suburb in our city, and it's basically near-ish to the city, to the center. So it's not, it's probably a couple of suburbs out from the center. I think I said something like 3 kilometers away.
Yeah.
And it's huge. It's actually 2.2 kilometers square, which I thought was smaller than I expected, but it's pretty big. Like it takes about, what, like 30, 40 minutes to walk around it?
Yeah. And I think it's 4Ks around the circuit.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a bit of a vibe of like Central Park in America, but smaller
yes.
and more round.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And it was literally a swamp in the 1800s.
Really?
Yeah. And then they turned it into a park in 1888, and then they built – like they purposely built houses around it and were right. like, they have to be a certain level of standards. They could only have certain thatched roofs and shit. And that's why all those houses
they're
are really beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, my God. They're so nice. It's and like, massive.
It costs you like a fucking bomb to live there.
Yeah.
If anyone lives in Centennial Park, fuck you.
Fuck you, you bougie fuckwit.
Yeah.
We're jealous. Can we come
We're
over,
jealous.
Please?
Can you please let us over? And so because it's swampy, it now has heaps of ponds.
Yes.
So there's like, I don't know how many ponds. There's fucking a million
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, and there's ducks and swans everywhere.
Yeah, so there's like pretty ponds that are yeah. like beautiful with like big willows and things around them.
Yes,
you can lie on them.
Very picturesque.
And like have a nice picnic. And then there are disgusting ponds as well. So many are fucking disgusting. So there's this one near the kids' bike track. And I don't know, did you go there when you were a kid and bike
no.
around it? Oh, no, because you were newy, of course. Okay.
We
so,
have like a tiny park in Newcastle called King Edward Park.
Yeah.
And it's tiny. It's pretty. Oh, and there's Black Butt Reserve. Black yeah. Butt's where it's at, actually. There's like a little native animal sanctuary. And
oh,
like,
cute.
That's where you did cross-country running.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's where I hung out, not Centennial Park.
Yes.
So I'm a new aficionado of Centennial Park.
Yes. But
I really
it's
like
definitely
it.
Where, like, you would take Rosa there.
Yes, I yeah. do take her there.
Yeah.
And walk her around. I was actually walking around listening, singing in excess to her like 2 weeks ago. People were giving me funny looks.
It's really pretty and it's very much like a kid area. And there's
yeah,
this big kid space with like a beautiful like it's got a really good little playground. And they've got this cool bike track and it's been there since I was a kid. So since like the 90s. Basically, I used to go there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And there's a pond there and it looks, honest to God, I think that at some point when I was a kid, someone told me about the film It. Like the clown.
Oh, God.
And then the pond just looks like a pond where it would like emerge from the depths. Like, it's just disgusting. It has this really like long bike route that goes down the side and we were never allowed to go down there.
Yeah.
And it just looks like
yes.
it goes
I
into
walked
the abyss.
Near there the other
yeah.
day.
Yeah. It's like an abyss. I don't know.
And that's where it gets creepy.
Yeah. And then there's this one that has like this large turd island in the middle, you know, the one. And it's like,
yeah.
It's like literally a bog island in the middle of this pond. And all these birds are on it. And they're like,
yeah.
And
it's where like the ibises hang out.
It's
like
literally an
birds.
Ibis turd island.
Yeah.
And they just like shit there. And that's it.
And like, you get like a waft of it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, you're ruining my very picturesque, like bougie walk around the park with your stench.
The stench. And in summer, it is a Ugh. Situation. But aside from that, really beautiful.
Aside from those creepy parts, it's really nice.
But the main thing with all of these ponds is that they're filled with fucking eels. They are full of them.
How, Melissa? How?
How? I don't even, you know what? On a sort of a philosophical level, why?
Why? For and starters, yeah.
Kill them.
Kill them all.
All.
Just put like an electrocution yeah. into the water.
Yes.
And which, kill them did all.
Did I told you before how in Greece, that's literally how they used to fish. They're like so yes. chaotic over there. Yeah. And they just like electrocute the water and all the fish. And then they had to stop because it was like, you're literally killing too many fish at once. Anyway, mom told me that. And she's Greek, so I'm allowed to say it. But yeah, so specifically they're the long-finned eel.
Yuck. No. Specifically, and that's disgusting.
Specifically, I hate that.
Ugh, they're horrible little faces.
Yes. And on the Centennial Park site, it just says long-finned eel, but then I kind of like did a bit of searching and I'm pretty sure they're the speckled long-finned. And they also live in the Botanic Gardens.
Why?
Ponds and Parramatta River.
Stop it.
I know.
A river I can kind of get.
Yeah.
But an inland pond in a man-made park?
Yeah.
Beyond me.
Not into it. And according to the Sydney Morning Herald, researchers have seen the para ones, get this, slither their way up the wall of the Warragamba Dam.
No.
What the fuck are you, what the fuck are these creatures?
All the hair on my neck. How do they do that? They're eels.
Why are they doing that? And how?
How steep is this wall?
Again, philosophically, why?
Yeah.
Physically, how?
And then just generally, no.
Yeah.
Just stop. Stop existing, eels. You're not servicing anyone with your existence.
They do have a job, but I don't care is the answer, is that I don't care that you have a job. I'd rather you still
don't
die.
Cockroaches have a job, and if we kill all the cockroaches, then blah, blah. I don't care.
We'll figure it out, guys. We'll just figure it out. Okay.
We'll figure out a machine to do the job, whatever it is.
We'll work it out. I don't mind if I have to do the job. If I have to do the job, but it means I don't have to see an eel ever again
or
in my life.
Think about one slithering up a wall.
I'm happy with that. Even in an article from 1912 on Trove that I sort of half read but didn't really, they had a story.
Mood.
Extreme Mel research mood. They had a story about this fucking massive eel in the Parramatta River that apparently existed. And it reminded me so much of the Hawkesbury River.
Oh.
Like, I feel like it was just this like idea of this huge, revolting, slithering mess. So, how gross is this description that's from Wikipedia? It has a long, snake-like cylindrical body with its dorsal tail and anal fins joined to form one long fin.
No.
Just one long fin.
From your butt.
From your butt to your face.
For your dorsal.
What's your dorsal? What is your dorsal?
Is it the one on top of your back? Your dorsal fin? Like the... on a dolphin or a shark,
it's
the one that comes
out
the top.
So it's like from the back of your neck all the way down to
your asshole.
Yeah. And to your tail.
No.
So it like goes beyond your asshole.
No.
It usually has a brownish green or olive green back and sides with small darker spots or blotches all over its body.
Just sludge colour, basically.
Just sludgy. Its underside is paler.
Ugh.
And
that's
it has small gill opening on each side of its head with thick lips.
No, that's the worst. The lips are the worst.
It's like it got like, it got lip fillers.
Yeah, like lip in SpongeBob, the eels always have like the really big lips.
Oh,
yeah. The cartoon.
I hate the lips. And they have teeth.
No. Like... Oh, yeah. They're always like, bleh. The photos, they're always like, heh. The little mouths open with their little teeth.
Josie like, just made a perfect like, eel face.
Disgusting.
I feel like you all know what we're doing there with the,
yeah.
You can see it in your mind. Yeah, they're like little flat teeth, but they're still teeth.
Well, like, shouldn't have
they
teeth.
Might be flat, but they're still there.
Do fish have
like
teeth?
Them. Some do, like piranhas.
That's very true.
I don't know about other ones. That's all I've got for you.
And aren't sharks fish?
Yes.
They definitely have teeth.
I was like, are they mammals? I don't even, let's not even go there.
Let's not.
We don't know animal things. We're not fucking
We're
biologists.
We're not experts. We can't know everything.
Guys, just let us tell you a story. Stop asking us questions. Why are we? We're asking ourselves questions.
And then yelling at ourselves.
So they grow really disgustingly huge. So up to 1.6 meters and 22 kilos. 22 fucking kilos. That's twice the weight of Millie, my dog. That's a very large.
Like I've got tears in my eyes.
I know. Josie's crying in the middle of the episode that's meant to be fun.
Why are they so big? I just hate them.
Why are you 22 kilos?
I didn't know that.
Like Millie's hard to pick up. Like, I'll pick her up and I'm like, fuck, you're heavy.
Yeah.
Twice that. What?
Just a big slithering
Yuck.
Mess.
Yuck. Anyway, and actually, if they are landlocked, so they don't, which I'm going to get into in a minute, they can get up to 3 meters.
Because I was going to say 1.6 is like me.
Yeah.
Well, almost me.
Yeah.
But then 3, that's outrageous.
Yeah. And then to me, it's like, okay, 1.6 is like, say, to here.
Yeah.
But to my shoulder. I'm like pointing and like just telling you. to here. But then to be 22 kilos in that, you'd have to be like the weight of my legs.
Yeah.
That's, you'd have to be portly. Like, you'd have to be quite like rotund,
like
in the waist.
Like a thick boy.
Yeah, you have to be thick. They're so thick. I do not like it. According to the Centennial Park site, they're predominantly carnivorous, which I didn't know. Feeding on insects, fine. Small fish,
no.
I'll accept it, kind of. Young birds, absolutely
demon.
Not. Done. Demon level.
Leave the young birds alone. It's Leave them out of this.
And you're disgusting. Don't come and eat cute things. You fucking disgusting.
Cute little cheap bird. Gone.
Yeah, I know. They can live up to 100 years.
No. I know. That's just... That's rude because we barely live to 100 years.
I know.
And here they are just hanging out being 100.
Why are you like a human?
What's the point of living
like
that long when you're an eel? How boring.
I know. Like, what are you doing
just
with
like
your life?
Swimming around.
Eating tiny baby
eating
birds.
Eating tiny birds.
So rude.
Weighing 22 kilos.
So it means that some of those ones in Centennial Park have been there since the 1920s. I do not like that. I don't like that. Were those ponds even there in the 1920s? Like,
my skin's crawling. I'm just picturing this.
How have you lived
faces.
Longer than I have, eel?
It's just
That's what I
want
to ask you. But Centennial Park, as I've said, they fucking love the
they
eels.
Love the
they
eels.
Want to kiss the eels on their large, thick lips. They want to kiss that little face.
It's that Sam Crosby.
Sam
They're
Crosby
kissing them all.
Kisses them goodnight.
Every
like,
day.
Like a friendly kiss, not a weird sexual
no, no,
one,
no
but just
tongue.
like a sweet father to child kiss.
Yes,
he, like you know, he
I'm
just
teaching Rosie to kiss at the moment. She puts her whole mouth
oh,
around my mouth.
My God, I hate that.
Like eel like.
That's how I feel eels would kiss.
Except she's cute.
Well, she's cute, and she
They're
doesn't
not.
Have thick.
I don't want to kiss an eel on the
lips.
No, thank you.
So the site says that they. Help control introduced European carp numbers by eating the young before they reach breeding age. So,
wait.
Yeah.
Is that the point of them?
Well, no. Oh. No, they don't have a point.
Oh.
But they've made a point for themselves.
Right. Okay.
By doing that.
Okay.
Like as in no one brought them in because I'm going to explain that in a minute.
Okay, sorry. I don't want to jump
no,
ahead.
No, you're not jumping ahead. I'm just explaining the carp situation. Okay. I'm assuming the carp were introduced and then they were like, well, fuck, as
right.
everything that
yeah.
they've ever introduced in this country has one
Goes
thing
crazy.
That has been brought into this country besides cute dogs, which I'll allow.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, even cute dogs, we have wild dogs and they're a problem.
Mm.
Everything's a problem. And the only thing that isn't a problem is the native animals.
I know.
Except for the emus and the emu war, but we're not
and
on talking about
that.
And then
we go and cull emus and beautiful Tasmanian tigers.
And kangaroos. Mm-hmm. And I know why they do it. And I understand. And it's very different if you live in the country.
Yes.
And I've been in the country and I like understand because they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's also like, okay, well, the carp, let's go back to fish. Like you fucked that up, guys. Now the eels are doing your dirty work for you, I guess. They also assist in keeping bird populations at a sustainable level, but I would prefer that the bird population
no.
went out of control. You don't even like birds. You must be so torn right
I
now.
Like birds.
Oh,
I'm
wait.
Always
Who
on
hates birds?
You.
Me.
I like them. I'm offended.
I hate some birds. I would say the ones at
ibises.
Centennial Park. Look.
But they're not eating ibises. Ibises are big.
Yeah, I know. They're probably eating all the cute little water
the cute
ones.
Little like.
And I like the little water ones except for the swans. But I like the like those little cute ones that just like
Do
hop
they
around.
Eat baby them. Swans like cygnets?
Well, it didn't say that. It just said small.
I feel like they're being very vague because they don't want us to get upset.
Yeah, they're probably not going to be like, they eat the really cute baby swans.
Cute little fluffy guys that swim next to their moms.
Yeah, well, any baby bird.
And the baby ducks.
Yeah.
Mel, I know. The best thing about going to Centennial Park, seeing the little ducklings.
I know, and then just.
Then just.
Imagine if you were there.
Old Lippy comes along and takes him away.
If you saw that, you'd be traumatized forever.
I would.
You would never get over that.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I'd keep having like flashbacks.
And just crying at random moments.
Oh, that would be horrific.
I know. And it probably does happen.
I'm never going there again. You've ruined Centennial Park.
I know. So in a sort of cute thing, kind of, yeah, no, you're already shaking your head. They only breed once in their lives. So they,
oh,
yeah. So it's like the last thing that they do before they die is that they fuck. So they reach sexual maturity anywhere between 20 and 80 years old.
80?
Yeah. So these hot, golden like girls, grands I'd like to fuck. Golden girls, big golden girls
Blanche.
Energy. Big, what is it, Blanche and Stanley? Yeah. Is that the one I'm thinking of? No.
Dorothy and Stanley?
What's that show? Grace and Stanley?
Oh.
Grace and Hart? Frankie and Stanley? Grace and Frank?
Grace and Frankie.
I was just saying words.
Blanche and Stanley.
This new show, Blanche and Stanley.
My stomach hurts. Grace and Frankie, yeah.
Grace and Frankie, yeah. Like these old sexual,
just Jane Fonda eels.
Jane Fonda
like...
eels getting back into sex. Woo. But what I really came here to tell you is that every autumn, these sex eels migrate,
what?
Not to just some other pond in the park, to New Caledonia.
How?
I'm going to tell you, and you're going to hate it. Are you freezing?
Sorry, my brain.
You were really not expecting New Caledonia to come up.
No.
At all. Like if I were to say anything that could possibly come up connected to this story, I feel like New Caledonia would have been the last thing on your mind.
They climb up. This is my theory.
I want to hear the theory first, yes.
Like the one in the dam, they climb up the side of Centennial Park.
Yeah,
the side of the pond.
Oh yeah,
they slither out to the Darley Road exit.
Yep,
they get an Uber to the airport.
Yep,
they get on a plane.
Yep,
and they go to New Caledonia. So they're fucked in COVID because there's no
they
flights.
They can't go anywhere. They're stuck.
What How the will fuck? They breed?
Well, you've actually got some elements that are correct.
The Uber.
The Uber is it. It's the Uber, guys. She got the Uber. Since 1920, since 1888, they've been getting in Ubers.
They started Ubers. Eels are pioneers.
So basically, the sex eels make their way to Botany Bay, so down near the airport.
How?
From Centennial Park. So because autumn sees increased rainfall, statistically, sometimes that just involves using stormwater drains that link the ponds. So they're like, in the pond is the drain or whatever, and they just go through the drains and they slither. Yeah.
Your face.
But that's not that weird. Like,
I'm offended though, because that's like my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. They're
all
under your house.
Centennial
they're
Park.
All under your house.
So there's
somewhere.
Eels going through the stormwater drains.
Yeah. Well, not right now, but they were in like March to whatever, June.
Under my house.
Yeah.
How fucking rude.
I know. It's disgusting. But that's not so weird. Like if you think about it logically, the drains are kind of connected to the ponds.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not like a particularly difficult, like you could just get, I would just imagine them being in there. Yeah. And then whoopsie, I'm out in the ocean.
A whoopsie daisy. Yeah.
A real whoopsie daisy event. But many will leave the pond and wriggle over land to get to nearby water somewhere.
Fuck off.
So if they're
so
not.
You could be walking your pram in your Lululemon tights and you just see an eel, just, excuse me, sorry, slithers across the path.
Yes.
Into the drain.
In my mind, and I think you're more correct than my mental image, it's like at the stroke of midnight, they all slither out in the moonlight in my head. It's like you'll never see them
do it. To avoid the like. Yummy Mummy Brigade.
Yeah.
And they're like, prams.
All together at the same
time.
It's
like a Toy Story thing where like everyone leaves and then they come to life.
Yeah.
But less cute.
but
infinitely more disgusting.
In a horror film. If Toy Story was a horror film, exactly.
Starring
like
thousands
the horror,
of eels.
You know, the like stabby ones that that other boy made of the toys, like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking terrifying movie if you really think about it.
Yeah.
He was like literally torturing dolls.
Uh-huh.
That's fucked.
He grew up to be Ted Bundy.
He absolutely did. So according to the Sydney Morning Herald, on this trip, their gills begin to change in preparation for salt water and their eyes enlarge. No.
I never want to see that process.
I don't want to see it.
Take place.
I don't
want to
see
it.
Oh. I don't want to see it happen and I hate that it happens. And so they actually instinctively follow the warmer waters all the way up the Pacific. So once they get out.
Yes, that made sense to me in my brain. Yeah. Once they shoot out of the drain.
Yeah. They're just attracted to the warmer water. So they just go up, 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 up. All the way to this really deep ocean trench that's like 10 kilometers deep at the edge of the ocean shelf surrounding New Caledonia. So it's quite big. So it's not like they all go to the same spot, but it's like that's
a big ocean
that's where
trench
they want to be.
Where I'll never visit ever.
We'll never
in my
dive
life.
There.
Never going
I,
there.
It's like, you know, when you know you don't want to see something, but you do. Like, I want to watch video footage of all these eels fucking at the bottom of the trench, you know? Like, I want to see it.
Yeah, now I kind of do.
And yet I really don't want to see it. And I know that it'll
be burned
in my brain.
Maybe you could watch it like this.
Yeah.
I've got like an
eye
squinted.
I'm going to look it up after this episode and see if we can find
eel porn.
Eel porn.
Dying eel.
We're just having a little porn day,
guys.
Eel
snuff films.
Yeah, fully. Eel snuff. I'm having too much fun here. Okay. So basically the female lays around 20 million eggs.
Jesus.
And when they hatch in the salt water, they just defend themselves. So they look like little tiny worms and she like leaves them like she's dead. So she
that's
has
such
all
a mood.
Eggs. I know. She's like pisses out all these eggs.
Bye.
And then just dies. And then all the babies have to look after themselves. So I think it's like every like one in a million or something. I mean, it can't be one in a million. It's 20 million. But it's like, you know, 1,000 in every million or something.
It's not like she has all 20 million live on.
Yeah, no, no, no. God, that would be hell and horrendous.
The world would be like
literally,
overtaken.
I would rather exit this earth.
Eels would run eels. The world.
Just eels everywhere. Like the water just like waves. They're just eels. Ugh, yuck. No, thank you. And they look like tiny little worms. I have a picture for you. Not that you want to see it. They look like that. Like little, little tiny
that
glass.
Looks like a, like a worm, like a tapeworm.
Yeah.
From like
yes.
a parasite.
Yeah.
Body
look, they actually
worm.
Look like parasites.
Body worm.
Disgusting. Yeah. And so once they're hatched, they're eel larvae. So once that, the eel larvae then use the currents to go back. So they use the currents to go back down the east coast of Australia.
Yes.
Don't ask me how that works. Don't understand currents. How can it go both ways? No one knows. But that it does.
It's like a road. So it goes up and then you do a U-turn and then it's going the other way.
That's how they work.
It's like a two-way street.
You heard it here first, guys. It's a two-way street. It's like a highway.
Yeah.
Like the Pacific Highway,
it's
the Pacific Water.
Pacific Ocean Highway.
Yeah, exactly. And so by this stage, they've gone from that teeny little thing. No, sorry. When the larvae look like, apparently, and I didn't find a picture of this, a flat gum leaf, clear gum leaf. Disgusting.
That's horrible.
But then they turn into that little tapewormy thing.
Okay.
And they're see-through because it's like a protection thing.
So
it's like
they're
in the
like
water,
invisible.
No one can see you.
A big whale can't like
eat
spot
it.
Them.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they just swim along with their mouths open and catch all this stuff. And that's why I don't like them.
Yeah. So they would definitely eat these things at some point.
So it's dangerous. This is a dangerous journey.
It's a very dangerous, it's a treacherous trip down the Pacific Ocean Highway for these little baby eels on their own, all on their own.
Oh, because their mom was just like, see ya.
Exactly. And so then they enter the waters of Botany Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're in Botany Bay.
They take the exit from the highway, Botany Bay.
They're like, we're here, guys. Chuck a right, chuck a right. How many times did I say it? And so when they get to Botany Bay, they stop feeding and then near Sydney Airport, they move into that little inlet and it's where freshwater meets saltwater,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really know where that is, but it's like there. It's just there.
It's there, guys. Believe us.
And then in that freshwater, their bodies creepily change color.
No.
Because they don't need to be see-through anymore.
I mean, that's kind of genius.
Yeah.
But also horrific.
Yeah. It's gross but genius. Mm. We love it and we hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're called the worst name, an Elva.
Oh, that sounds like an old lady name.
Like an old witch lady. I saw
Elva down at the club.
Yeah.
I don't like her. I don't like her at all. Blanche and Stanley were there too, let me tell you. Elva.
Elva. Elva.
Sorry if anyone listening is called the Elva.
I just don't think anyone is called Elva.
It's like someone was an Elvis fan but then had a daughter.
Yeah. And they were like, fuck.
Okay. Elva it is.
Elva it is. So as an Elva, it's like basically like they're a teenager at this point, right?
Mm.
They are ready to make their journey towards the ponds. So
why?
So we're in, what's we're so in good those about like the Botany ponds? Bay, like oh water bits.
God, yes. Mm-hmm. I know them.
And then they just hang out in there. Until they grow into this size.
So there's just these teeming pits of eels in Botany Bay.
Yep.
It's disgusting.
I know. It's so gross. Like I'll never go past those waterways. No, I'm never going ever there ever again. And think about them the same way. So according to the Centennial Parklands site, the elves use this thing called the Green Corridor. And so it's like all of those connecting water bits. So there's like Botany Wetlands, which is, you know, when you're driving on that highway, that bit.
Yep.
And then there's ponds in East Lake, so a nearby suburb.
Yes.
And then there's the ponds at the Australian Golf Course.
Yes.
And so they just go like between all of these
they
ponds.
They go pond to pond to pond. Yeah. Pond hopping.
Yeah, pond hopping all the way. And then they then follow the man-made stormwater channels around Randwick Racecourse.
Yes.
And then they reach the inlets at the Parklands. Which is, look, at this point, a little bit genius. Like the Elva is a little bit genius because like that's hard. That's a lot of like, you don't have Google Maps up in there.
You don't. What if you take the wrong turn, you go down the wrong drain?
I guess you die.
Yeah, fuck.
But like the fact they even know to go back to the pond.
How? And why? What's so great about the pond?
Like why are they going there? Why wouldn't you just hang out in the Botany Bay?
Yeah, it sounds fun. That's where all the other eels are. Yeah. Just hang there for a while.
I feel like I'm sure there would be ones that don't make it past like, you know, they get to Botany Wetlands. They're like, I like it here. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah, I'm sure there's like drop off as each location.
Yeah. They can't all go to the ponds. They would be inundated.
Oh,
but they get back there and that's weird.
So their mums leave
and
then they arrive.
Yeah.
To like continue this cycle on.
Why?
Philosophically why?
I know.
I don't understand
so
the point.
So much philosophical like, why in this.
Park is lovely. I guess they want to be bougie.
Yeah.
They maybe the ponds are the equivalent of those thatched amazing houses on the outskirts of the park.
It's like the premium for eels. Real estate.
Like you must try and live in Centennial Park.
If you can make it to Centennial Park. I spent my whole life working and producing you babies.
So that you could live in Centennial Park.
So you don't make it back there.
Fucking gratitude would be nice. Elvis. Elva.
Have some fucking gratitude to your dead mother. Slaved away. Birthed you. What the fuck am I talking about? Okay.
The non-gratitude from these little bastards.
They're super ungrateful.
Teenagers.
But some of them are grateful. So the good kids get back there.
Yep.
And so this maturing and all this process from Botany Bay to the ponds can take years.
Right.
So
okay.
It's like little stages, little increments, I guess, when they like feel confident. I don't know, they need to get their self-esteem up.
As an eel. You got this, Elva.
Elva, you got this. You got this one. You can jump that pond edge.
Oh, now I'm like kind of warming to them.
I know. The elves, I've...
Jesus.
I've done that twice now. Yeah. I've got like an itchy back and I keep snapping my bra on it. Anyway, yes, I kind of feel like supportive of them.
Yeah. I'm like picturing them trying to jump up the thing. Yeah. It's taking them like a year and a half.
Yeah.
You got this, Elva. You can do it. Now there's going to be an adorable little animated film made of
Elva
them.
The Eel.
Yeah.
That would be a great book. Yes. If someone's like a children's writer, you should write this
you
book.
You should do it. And I'm will not going to read it to Rosa.
I will
because
never
I
buy it.
Give her nightmares. But I support your side
yes.
hustle.
Yes. Me too. And so the ponds are a safe environment for them to then grow and develop. There's an abundance of food.
Yeah, they can be three meters long.
500 baby birds there. Juvenile waterfowl, apparently, is one of the birds that they eat.
That's a duck, right?
I think so. I don't know.
They're just eating like fucking duck pancakes all the live long day. Just
constant duck pancakes. Anyway, so they live there for ages until they reach the sex eel status.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that they're a sex eel because they don't need to eat anymore. And then they're either full of eggs or jizz, literally. Just filled with it. Isn't that disgusting?
They're like, I can't eat anymore. I wonder why. I'm just so Am I sick? Oh, no. That's jizz.
I'm full of jizz. My powerful, potent sperm. And so off they go back to the ocean to fucking die.
What a life.
And that's literally like the story of them.
I'm so curious as to how someone figured this out.
I know.
Well, they put a GoPro on their heads.
Well, actually, Sam Crosby,
weirdo
who
Sam.
loves his eels. Because you know how I said that some of them end up landlocked?
Yes.
So he said this to the Australian Geographic, that basically since they arrived in the ponds, the landscape's probably changed, and that maybe like the water levels are too low in some spots, so they can't go and return. So they just end up hanging out there forever, which is a little bit sad.
Yeah.
But he was saying he would love to see more, like, I guess, like research into where they go and how they do it and all of those things, which I agree. I would be interested. Yeah, I don't like them.
No, but it's just fascinating.
If Sam wants to like suit up in a scuba thing and just follow them the whole way up, I'm down with that.
Go for it, Sam. Yeah. You do that. I'm just fascinated with how like animals know to do stuff.
Yes.
Kind of like with the law of the tongue, how they know to do that.
Yes.
And they somehow pass this knowledge from generation to generation.
That's what I would like to know. Yeah, like
without books.
Like how do you have that in you?
That they know to do that.
It's just so weird. I mean, I guess in general animals are fucking strange to me because they just know how to do so many things. And like even looking at Millie, like she was our first dog that we raised from a puppy, and you just like saw her like now she's going through like this weird juvenile phase where she like, you know, like defends the yard and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a time where she just didn't give a shit about the yard and like just hung out there and whatever.
And
now,
how'd she learn to do that? Like, you didn't teach her. You weren't like, defend the yard.
Yeah. And for example, like she gets dinner every night, but then if it's a particularly big bone, she'll go and bury it and be really protective of
it. My mum's dog buried everything she gave her.
Yeah. And it's like they know to like hide.
Yeah.
Things.
They've got like the wild animal instincts still.
It's so strange.
Leroy does this thing where when he goes to the kitty litter tray, he'll do his thing, but then he'll come out into the lounge room and keep scraping his paw along the ground as though he's still trying to cover up his poo, but he's like moved two rooms away and he's just scraping nothing.
I'm
like,
so weird.
Oh, what are you doing? Leroy, stop it.
Yeah.
Leroy, stop being weird. Found a poo on my bed the other day.
Oh,
from Leroy.
No.
His butt exploded again.
Oh, I thought he was just doing a complaint poo.
No. Leroy's a problematic bum, everyone.
So does Millie. We've both got pets with problematic bums. But anyway, that's the story of the Centennial Park eels. If you've seen one crawling on the land, I want to know about it.
You know what's weird that's happening at the moment, which is similar, is the humpback whale in Kakadu National Park.
I'm so upset about this. Okay, so I know you hate whales and I wouldn't say that I like want to kiss them on their big fleshy
eel
mouths
like
or anything. No, I don't want to give them like a mother to son kiss, but I get so upset by that because I've been up there and Alligator River, that river is absolutely rife with crocodiles. And I'm like, if one of those crocodiles
dares to
bite whale,
it. Apparently they're steering clear of it because they're like, whoa, that's a big bitch.
And they're just like trying to get it out. Yeah. Well, because crocs also, they only eat till they're hungry. So they eat like, they'll eat like a big meal or whatever. And then they just fuck off and like hang out and just like, I'm so full. You know, they'll eat a huge meal, but they're like, it's probably too big for them.
It's
they're
like
this
way
is too
big.
Much.
They can't get enough friends together.
And they don't operate together. No. So they're like, no one wants to take this big bitch on.
I'm not going near that. It's so weird. Yes. Out of context whale.
That's really out of context. Apparently there were three and they got two. Two just went out naturally.
Yeah.
And this
one's
just
like,
wait for me, guys. what are we just going to have whales in there
stupid,
now?
Stupid, big, klutzy idiot.
I know. They are pretty stupid. Like, how would it turn around? It couldn't possibly.
A 3.2.
3.2. For like 5 years it's trying to turn around, just like slowly incremental little bits.
Oh my God. It's like, so weird.
It's just like sideways for a really long time.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Man, that story was weird.
Yes. I forgot that you didn't know about any of it. And then I was like,
just insane.
Because I thought that I'd told you the whole story when I was going to do it, but I didn't.
I thought that it was just weird that they were there to begin with in ponds without any. I just thought there's no access to the ocean, but there is under my house.
It sure is. There's eels in there all the time.
I did have an update on my haunted house, actually.
Yes.
The other night, Julie and I were sitting there on the lounge. Rose was in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard this sound like Leroy jumping off something. And I'm like, what was that? And he goes, just Leroy. I'm like, Leroy is sleeping next to me. And did like a dramatic reveal where I moved my leg. And Zoe was like in her little bed.
Yeah.
I'm like, Julian, what was that? And I made him go and investigate. There was nothing there, but I had to go into the attic the other day and I was terrified.
Oh my God, I would have been.
What if there's someone living in here? I'm freaking out about it.
I don't think anyone's living in there, but just generally attics give me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, I don't like it. But they've got bad vibes. The sound was exactly Leroy jumping off onto a wooden floor. Like it was quite.
Maybe you just have a haunted cat.
Loud. Well, I used to think I had a haunted cat in my old house because I had a cat that died.
Ah.
And I used to feel like cat kind of brushed against my leg and I think it was Leroy or Zoe and I looked down and there was nothing there.
Whoa.
So maybe that haunted cat has followed me.
Yeah, maybe it's attached to you.
Maybe.
But in a nice way.
Its name was Bruce. I named it after Bruce Springsteen. Aww. But it got a disease and died. Aww. It was very sad.
Well, I feel like if it's attached to you, it's not in like an evil way. It's in a nice, cute way.
But like we looked everywhere. We couldn't figure out what the source of the noise was.
Josie's haunted house.
Just mildly like.
It's the new Rosa Poo. It's the Rosa Poo of late 2020.
Yeah.
On that note.
That's it.
Hooroo.
Hooroo.